Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
It is a great day to be alive on this Wednesday. Kyle Brusten Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. My name is Ben Brust alongside me. Representing Gear of a time in which he was looking into education. PED instructor.
Physical education department at Central Michigan University. I was an instructor. They don't just give this to anybody.
Still incredible. It's still,
doesn't it? It almost seems like it didn't exist. Like
what would I have? Hey,
you taught a gym class?
No, physical. I was
like
part of the
walking. How to walk in
walking,
life.
Fitness, bowling. That was the PED bowling. Program.
So you wasted your money.
No.
Did you give out grades to students that affected their
Yes, I impacted students' grade point averages. I didn't waste my money. I was a graduate assistant.
Did you write like, hey, you got a D minus on this walking quiz because you wouldn't pass a field sobriety test with that walking.
Nailed it, Stro.
The walking class was pretty easy. I did give them a binder project that they had to track their health
binder
habits.
Binder project?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't an easy teacher.
You're judging other people's health habits?
Damn! Based off the book.
Okay.
Based off the book. Not based off of my
Did
what
you
I would
follow
read.
The book?
Yeah, I followed the book. Now, when I was a professor, now I was straight to the book.
Professor.
I'm saying instructor.
No. I did do this fast. There was this 3-2 fast, something like that, or 5-2 fast. I forgot what it was. It's on, off, intermittent fasting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you on, really know it.
Well, this was a decade ago. And so I followed it, lost some weight. So I had my mom and my auntie do it, and they lost some weight, too.
It is crazy to think, like, all three of us have lived prior lives. That's really hard to, like, wrap my head around. Like think about 10 years ago, Ben, in, like, Lithuania.
Damn!
10 years ago, Kyle... An instructor?
Michigan, and me
in the NFL? It just seems like...
You were in Lithuania. You were an instructor.
Strofe in high school?
Strofe just discovered...
Oh, yeah. I was in... I would have been my junior year of high school.
Wow. Crazy. I was cheering you on, man.
Thanks, Kyle.
Even though I didn't like you.
Because of the whole Brookfield.
You already tore me down for breaking your heart against the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, that's true.
Or the Rose Bowl. Twice.
I didn't like you because you went to Brookfield Central and you ended my high school football career.
Yep,
but it was tough
that.
Because you were a Badger, and I love my Badgers.
Brad Northman, longtime NFL punter, reminding us why he's better than us to start the show. What's going on, Brad?
Sneak that in there. Yeah, just a reminder.
While we're in the Jags.
Strofe's running the show. Strofe, did you do any thinking about your life choices last night after Kyle got at you yesterday?
Damn, why are we bringing that up?
Bringing what up?
Are we bringing over some drama from yesterday?
I downloaded a new block game. I played that until about 12:30 last night. I got to score.
You weren't
20,
focusing on investing 20, at 12
Did
o'clock
you actually do that?
Here, Block Blast.
Hey, whatever makes him happy, man. I'm glad you.
Oh,
glad
so you're going to be soft on today.
No, what do you mean soft on? You know what Mama Wallace said? Leave Strofe alone. So I'm going to leave him alone.
Leave Strofe alone.
And baby girl got on me, so you know what?
Did you guys talk when you got home?
She's gone, but she did tell me it was important for me to rewatch it back.
So you had to rewatch a segment from our show in which she claims you were too mean to Strofe?
Yeah, I said, was I? I didn't think it was that bad.
So and?
What was your takeaway after the rewatch?
I don't want to share.
Strofe alone.
All right, we'll leave Strofe alone.
What do you mean you don't want to share? You couldn't stop sharing yesterday.
You got me, buddy. He got me.
800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talk and Text line.
Why y'all bring up old stuff?
Because it happened right here on the show. No, it happened on the show.
We need a vibes check.
Closure.
Yeah, make sure
it doesn't sound
on.
Like we have closure right
no,
now.
No, I did some self-evaluation.
I think you two need to talk it out on the air.
What's there to talk about? I love Strofe.
Oh, there's the high voice. It's a lying voice.
Here comes the butt.
I do. I object to this. I do love Strofe. You know, we...
So what was your takeaway? Answer the question.
So I realized about myself, it's not my fault. Okay? I was raised a certain way. Mama Wallace, Papa Wallace, like...
Nothing like taking extreme ownership.
No, I am. I'm taking extreme ownership, and I'm blaming my parents because I can't help how I react to stuff. I'll be very honest. This morning, I woke up early in the morning, 6:15 in the morning, and I watched the video again.
This morning? That's how you started your day?
I started my day with that.
And you yelling at Strofe at 4:30 to 4:45 yesterday on the show? For those who missed it, go back in the podcast if you want to listen
don't,
to...
Or don't.
Strofe getting killed by Kyle.
I found myself laughing. I was laughing. I was sitting there. I said, this is hilarious. And then what I discovered is this. Because, when I say I took heat, the number one fan of Alex Strofe ain't his mama, ain't his daddy, ain't his girl. It is my fiance because she was just getting on me. I said, okay. Sheesh. So maybe something's wrong with me. But I watched it back this morning. I texted her instantly. I said, baby, I watched it. It wasn't that bad. I blame Ben. Ben gaslit you. Because
what?
I was
How am I falling on this?
Because if you watch it back, I said what I had to say and I stopped.
Give us an example of what you said for those who maybe didn't hear it.
Come on,
man. Dude, we got to bring the audience
That's
in.
Brutal.
I don't know.
It was later in the show.
I just said we're all broke. Me and him are broke. We're the brokies.
No, that's not what happened.
That's not at all.
So, do you want to maybe, one thing that stood out to you?
Kyle effectively said, yeah, I'm much better than you now, but I was also much better than you at your age.
That's not what I was saying.
No, that's a good representation. And that's just a small thing of 15 minutes of just direct assault.
Well, the assault stopped. But then what happened was Ben said, oh, you're just, no, I like this. You're just going to let him do that to you, Strofe? Like, he gaslit you. And so you attempted to try to do a comeback talking about, oh, you've missed a quarter of the games or you da-da-da. And I said, oh, he wants to keep going. Well, I guess we'll keep going. So we did that. So I was done. I blame Ben for gaslighting you to continue it. I didn't want to do that. I was done.
Well, so what you're actually blaming Ben for making you act out?
You know,
that's what it sounds like.
Did you watch it back?
You have no self control.
Well, you can't say something to me and think I ain't gonna just say. I mean, it's entertainment, right? Like going back and forth, a little banter, right? It was banter.
I felt like Strofe was taking jabs and you were giving him the wind up knockout punch.
Haymakers.
He was against the ropes and they were trying to grab you off of him. You're like, nah, get away from me. I'm gonna keep hitting him while he's on the ropes.
You playfully wrestle with your buddies or something. He was wrestling. You were taking the gloves off.
He tapped out, and you were like, no, ain't no tapping out here.
I grew up watching Mike Tyson, so I'll bite off ears. So, you know, I just got him a little bit.
All right, there's the triple down from Alex Strofe. Like I mentioned, you can get us on the Carbs Talking text line.
I didn't triple down.
800-9- Yeah, I'm not saying you. I'm saying Kyle. 800-990-3776.
Yeah, why are you trying to tell him what you said?
How is that a triple down?
Yeah, how is that a triple down? Huh?
I'm the bad guy.
You are the bad guy.
You just said that's a triple down from Alex Strofe. What does that mean?
Yeah.
I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, he didn't triple down.
Is that just a misspeak? What was that?
It was a misspeak, but I actually figured, you know, I could just try and move it along. But...
No, but then you tried to double down, triple down
on Alex Strofe. Me. Yeah. Anything.
Maybe I'm doing something to bring you two together.
I didn't do anything.
Leave him alone.
You are you, buddy. You
Leave
are you.
Strofe alone.
Damn, now he's making fun of you, saying you are you. Like what?
Kyle's trying. Alone.
What are you doing?
Kyle's trying his best to get out of this. It's so great.
I'm hot.
Here's
right
the
now.
Issue.
He's actually uncomfortable, and I am just so happy.
Well, can I tell you why he's uncomfortable?
What's that?
Because you know how he referenced to his baby girl as my number one fan?
Yeah.
It all stems from when I told her she had those beautiful eyes.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, wow.
You son of a gun. Oh, gosh. It's been burning for months. You got me. That's why I was so mad yesterday. I had to let it out.
The real Kyle.
We're
would be,
even now. Even.
The real Kyle wouldn't get even. He would get ahead.
No. Self-control, right, Strofe? Self-control. No. Yeah, we're even. Man, that really burned
Shutsy
me up.
Shutsy doodles.
My Rats. Girl in her eyes, that Strofe making that comment. Damn it.
Keeping you up at night.
Man. Oh.
So yesterday we talked a lot about the Green Bay Packers.
She really does have beautiful eyes.
God. Thank you. I'm hot right now. But thank you, Strofe. She does. I agree.
Are you sweating? Why are you hot?
I'm sweating because I'll be honest. I felt bad yesterday. I felt so bad.
Why did you start the show this way?
Because when I saw Strofe in the hallway yesterday after the show, y'all saw him. He looked hurt. I said, oh, no. I said, did I? I said, Strofe, did I hurt your feelings? He said, no, it was fun, except. I said, oh, no. I said, damn, I hurt this boy's feelings. So now he came upstairs at the end of the day.
Did you know overcompensate?
Oh, big time.
What did he do? What did he do?
Oh, no.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Alex Strofe. What did Kyle Wallace do after going too far?
Did you look at him and said, oh, God, did he?
He laid down because he must have overcompensated.
All right, so I walked out. I walked out of this room, which I always do at about 5 o'clock, 5:01 every day. And he's sitting out there talking to somebody else, and immediately he ends that conversation. And he goes, you all right? And I go, yeah, except one thing. And he grabbed me by the left shoulder with his left arm and hugged me with his right arm. I swear to God, I walked 20 yards.
He chased after you again?
No, he was hung on to me the entire time.
Oh, my God.
Time.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to, you know, console.
He gave me an escort to a production room where I go at the end of the day to finish some of my work. We walk past our buddy Marcus Johnson, who's just witnessing this. Bucks legend.
He probably thought something was wrong.
Marcus Johnson's here recording something for Bucks Plus, Here District, all that. Yeah.
He's here recording a new episode of Here District. He's like, why are those two hugging? Anyway,
what's wrong with
Did you want
place?
The hug?
No.
It didn't seem it's like an overcompensation.
I was fine. It's just, there was one thing. So anyway, that happened. So then I do my work. He goes upstairs. I don't see him for about a half an hour. Okay. I go upstairs. He's leaving for the day. And he goes, Strofe, I just feel so bad. I'm going to think about this all night.
You started playing the victim in this?
Guess what he said? He said, wait, when did you become the victim? That's what he said to me. I hurt your feelings. Strofe, I just want you to know, I felt so bad because the Packer game, you know, in, you know, Denver's coming up. And Strofe said he may think about trying to go. I may try to go. I'm sitting there thinking, I can't buy you tickets because, you know, I ain't that upset about it. But I was like, maybe I can try to get him to hook up so he gets some cheap tickets or something like that. I was thinking about you, Strofe. I felt so bad.
I think free tickets would
yeah,
solve
it's
this
free
issue.
Tickets or nothing at this point. You don't put your arm around for 20 yards and then play victim.
Actions are greater than words.
Yeah, nah, I would have to pay for it. My cousin's a practice squad player that could get elevated. He ain't like, 100% player. He don't get free tickets like that. It's limited and I can't get you to
what I will say is I would say the last 24 hours between Alex Strofe and Kyle Wallace have made me, you know, even more confident about my relationship at home. Watching this like married couple argue and go back and forth, and Kyle taking ownership, then playing victim, then taking ownership, then taking shots, then not taking shots. It's just been a whirlwind, man.
A roller coaster.
Well, I really did become the victim in this situation because he got to go home and it was over. I had to deal with it the rest of the night.
See, extreme ownership would be, I did this. I should have to deal with this now.
No.
It's my fault.
This is entertainment and it's fun.
Until you cross the line.
You know what else? Tony Cartagena, executive producer of The Analysis, he told me, you know, there's a line, Kyle. And you came right up to it. I said, well,
so he didn't say you crossed him.
I said, if TC said that.
Yeah, especially with Strofe. Especially when talking about Strofe.
I was like, damn.
He wants people to jump over the line to get to Strofe, and you went close to the line. He had his back.
Wow.
We good now?
Of course not.
Oh, my
God. Free tickets, though. That would help.
Well, I guess we're just going to have a rocky relationship, so.
What else is new in Kyle's relationships?
Yeah. Like the drama.
Did you sleep with Mama and Dad's last night, scared cat?
I did sleep at home yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
I was back there yesterday.
With Mom and Dad?
Yeah.
Do you bring a full-ass suitcase if your girl's gone for a week?
She's gone. So, well, she comes back tomorrow. But, no, I bring my little duffel bag of clothes.
You bring an overnight bag? That's so cute.
You stay there again tonight?
You said what?
You staying there again tonight?
Well, I wasn't planning on it, and I didn't bring enough clothes, but I got to take my car to get fixed tonight, and it's by
What's
their
wrong with your
house.
Car?
You got
everything.
You seen that car?
My car's 13 years old.
We have the same car.
Mine
has significantly less mileage.
Mine is like 178,000
And
miles.
We know he drives like a Kia boy,
so
the thing's been through a lot.
So I gotta drop it off to get repaired tonight, this is going to sound childish. I said, hey, Mom, you think you drop me off at work?
Come on.
How else am I going to get to work?
She going to leave you with a brown lunch bag, too?
How else am I going to get to work?
I thought it was bad when Lexi would pick me up from the Panthers facility.
Well, that is bad.
That is bad. You were an NFL player making your wife walk around the city of Charlotte without a car, and then she dropped you off at practice in the one car.
Yeah. Baby, I'm ready to get picked up.
Well, I got it. I'm going
to
the mechanic.
Don't pull up to where everyone can see me, honey.
Yeah, go way in the back.
That's funny. Yeah, so I mean.
Do you just, yeah, this is from Chris in the Carlos Talking text line. Do you have a toothbrush that you just keep at the house?
Well, I did have a traveling toothbrush in my bag. I happened to leave it there. I don't know what I was there for before.
So since this whole thing got started on smart purchases, you think buying a home when you spend less than 50% of your time there was a good choice?
Hey, listen, baby girl spent 100% of her time.
Wait,
there.
So you're how old?
35.
Is your bedroom at your parents' house still the same as it was when you were 18?
No, I mean, it's
He's
similar.
Still crying about it, Stroh. This is a tough subject.
What percent?
We can't go there.
No, the bed is still there, but like, there's bags everywhere. So, you know,
what
I
do you mean
step
there's
over
bags everywhere.
Bags of clothes?
Clutter. Just clutter stuff.
It becomes storage.
It becomes storage. Yeah.
So you know how we gave out a winner before, not even, it might have been before the season. It was because everyone was panicking after the 0-4 start for the Milwaukee Brewers. It's not the same type of bet, but we've talked about it yesterday a little bit, and I have some further information that might help us pull the trigger on something related to Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. And I have some more reasoning why we should do it now instead of later. Jordan Love, I'll say it. If you want the MVP ticket, you got to do it now. And I'll tell you why next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
Brad.
Kyle.
I know.
Kyle.
Listen,
Kyle.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Just one quick thing here, because we were talking about this before the show, Stroh. On the Carbless Talking text line, 800-990-3776. We get these Bucks bot accounts that just send in like very Magic Johnson-esque tweets, but that are text. And then I opened up my Twitter and I saw a Magic Johnson tweet. With the World Series being 2-2, Game 5 is very important. Whichever team wins takes control of the series.
Oh, wow.
Bucks bot account 68 chimes in. Bucks Nation's new man crush is Ryan Rollins. They stomp the favored Knicks, and the East goes through Pfizer.
Yeah!
Powerful. Powerful.
I'll keep you updated on all the Bucks bot accounts that send us some stuff to make sure they get the praise on the air that
I'm
they're looking for.
I'm excited about the Bucks.
Technology's so weird.
We will get to the Milwaukee Bucks, but what I want to know right now from all of you in KBN Nation, 800-990-3776, we're on YouTube, at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. You got Kyle Bruston Nortman here with Stroh running the show. The Packers are 5-1-1, and ultimately I've been thinking to myself, you know, when it comes to our conversation yesterday about Jordan Love being elite, great, good, average, we've been doing that poll almost every week. And then thinking about the opponents that are brought up in the last 3 to 4 weeks and how much that plays into what you think about Jordan Love and those defenses. But like, I'm at a point now where you're sitting first in the division and first in the NFC through week 8. Like, you know, you're in a big enough sample size to know you're for real. But in order to be for real, like, what's the one thing that's holding them back from being, like, the top contender? Because they're still behind the Lions, believe it or not, in the odds. I believe they're slightly ahead of the Eagles, but, like, they're all sort of bunched together. How do you get that separation from an odds perspective, from a power rankings perspective? Not that all that matters, but I think there is part of us that knows there's still a little bit left in this team that they can – like, get out of them leading into the playoffs. What's the one thing that you think is holding them back from really being that, like, forefront, they're the best team in the NFC, no doubt?
Well, to me, I think of when you become an elite team like that, either offense or defense, hopefully both, has to be truly feared. Where an opponent looks at you and says, I don't know how we stop this team if it's on offense, or I don't know how we possibly gain a yard against this team. That is what Super Bowl contending teams are and Super Bowl winners are. So for me, it comes down to the running game. I mean, it really does, because I look at this team and I think, you know, the offense is somewhat intimidating, right? Jordan Love is playing great football. Tucker Kraft, one of the best tight ends in the NFL. And you've got a plethora of other solid B-type wide receivers. But if this running game gets going in the way it got going last year, and the way it should, if you have Josh Jacobs, a former All-Pro, and you've invested so much into this offensive line, you pair that with an already high-functioning passing game, I think you look at this offense and say, this is among a top three offense in the NFL, and defenses will have to basically pick their poison. Are we let them run the football on us because we're trying to stop Jordan Love, or are we going to stop the run and just let Jordan Love carve us up? It's one of those situations where a top offense led by a top quarterback and a proficient running game, that is with the ingredients to a top NFL team. And right now, this running game, for whatever reason, is just not getting going. Timing and blocking and sloppiness, to use Matt LaFleur's
words. Some injury
to
add in there from Josh Jacobs.
Some injury, too, and a little bit of a rotating cast of characters on the offensive line. So there's all the reasons that they're going to get it going forward. I don't have a ton of doubt that it's going to get better. But if they want to be a Super Bowl team, that running game's got to get up to a great to elite level. And when that happens, look out. I don't know how they're going to be able to be stopped.
Right off the rip, what's stopping this team from being the forefront of the NFC? Stop playing down to the opponent's level, says Adam in the 608. So playing down to the competition, which I think you could make that argument, but they're still 5-1-1 and in first. Now, we're going to learn a lot over these next 4 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Brett, I think you're absolutely right. When it comes to the running game, they got to get it going. But you have Josh Jacobs. Matt LaFleur is going to make it an emphasis, and you're going to see that running game get going. Because if Jordan Love continues to carve up defenses the way that he has done this year, you got to start defending the pass, and they're going to open up some rushing lanes for Josh Jacobs. Quick tidbit there. I think Emmanuel Wilson is having such a good season is simply because when he's in the game, defense are taking a deep breath.
Probably
we don't
right.
need to focus in,
yeah,
right? And so
point.
That's why the running game is opening up. But when Josh Jacobs is in there, he's the
Fox
focal point.
Gets stacked.
Mm-hmm. He's the focal point. So you're right, Brett. That's the area they have to improve on. But the area I'm most concerned about is the takeaways for this defense. That for me, when I look at this defense, they have 4 takeaways all year. That is it. I mean, last season, I believe our safety, David McKinney, had like 7 or 8 interceptions by himself. And by this time last year, he already had 4 takeaways by himself. So when I look at this Green Bay Packers team, we got to stop having this honeymoon with Jeff Hafley. The honeymoon is over with Jeff Hafley because takeaways has regressed for this football team. When you look at where the Packers are at in rankings, they are ranked in the bottom. They are ranked number 30 in the NFL in total takeaways, and the teams that surround them are the lowly Jets, the Ravens defense, which is awful, the New York Giants, who are under 500, Commanders, Cardinals, and Panthers, and Cowboys. That is the company that they are keeping when it comes to this defense with takeaways, and that is a problem. That will be the sole thing that keeps them away from winning a title, because if they can't force more turnovers, right? If they continue to have this low rate of taking the football away, they're going to find themselves in a bad situation in a playoff game where things get tight. Because listen, how much I love me some Jordan Love in the Packers offense, there's going to be a moment where they're going to throw an interception, they're going to fumble the football, and when you lose the turnover battle in the playoffs, you're going to end up losing that football game. So the Green Bay Packers have to be better at forcing turnovers, or they will not be going to the Super Bowl. They have an elite quarterback who is masking this problem for them as their +1 in turnover differential, but that ain't going to last forever. It is up to Hafley to make sure that this defense is starting to force some turnovers, whether it's schematically or whatever you got to do. We have to start forcing turnovers. We saw in the last couple weeks when you had the strip against Jacoby Brissett, what happened? We were able to get the ball and score, and we got the momentum. You saw last week when they were able to force the turnover on Kenneth Gainwell, what happened? We were able to get the ball back, eat more of the clock, and put the game away. Turnovers are momentum-shifting things for this defense and for this football team, and the Packers have not generated enough of them. If this continues at this rate where you are the 30th worst team at doing that, you ain't going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think it's worth bringing up here as I look at the takeaways, and it's not extrapolated in totals, but on a per-game basis, but it tells the story over 17 games. There's only one team with a higher variance of change, and that's Jacksonville this year, who's second in turnovers forced. They averaged 2 per game. Last year, in 2024, they were 0.5 per game. The second biggest variance is that as Jacksonville second in takeaways. When you go down to 30th, you see 0.6 takeaways per game for the Green Bay Packers. Last year, 1.7. That's a 1.1 per game difference on takeaways. And so that's the second biggest variance in a way that it's negative, obviously, for the Green Bay Packers. And there was conversations with Rob Domofsky and Jason Wilde on this very program about the Ball King.
Yeah, huge
We heard
emphasis.
About that in the offseason. Haven't heard about it enough in the games for the Green Bay Packers.
Whoever's being paid to be the ball king ain't stealing money, tell you that much.
Who's stealing more money, the ball king or Rich Bisaccia?
Ball king, shoot, he only had to work four times this year. It's been eight games. Oh, he's been just sitting there chilling, collecting that check.
So, and Brad, I think we've talked about this as well, even just thinking about this conversation. I think it's a really good thing when you look at the less than a turnover a game stat that we just read, 0.6 per game this year for the Packers, yet they're 5-1-1. If they regress anywhere to the mean from a two-year sample size or this 17-plus-7-game sample size, 24 games, if you get anywhere above one and you're 5-1-1, that's a huge opportunity for an offense that's shown that they have pieces in place, and although it's not all figured out, they've been able to be productive. And what offense isn't productive with a higher rate of turnovers? Some of those end up on the other side of the field where it's automatically turning into points.
Extra possessions.
And that is something that we saw this team thrive on, even going back to late in 2023. I think about how they had success against the Dallas Cowboys right away on the road as a 7 seed. Jair made a big pick. They had scored on the first possession, and just like that, Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb were yelling at each other. And so we knew it was a story of how they were able to have success last year with Jordan Love playing well, but not as well as people maybe would have hoped. But if you have Jordan Love, where we're all discussing that he's had a great season thus far, the majority of people, 65% of people yesterday saying he's a great quarterback this year, not elite, it was like 20%, not good, that was like 20%, and obviously not average. You don't have a brain if you said average. If you, with a great quarterback, are able to take more opportunities away from your team and not knowing some of those are going to be on your side of the field, some of those are going to be on the other team's side of the field, that's going to turn into success for this team, leading to more wins. And if you haven't had them now, it's really great if they start happening when you have the Lions, you have the Eagles, you have the Broncos. Those are going to be tight margin games.
Yeah. Ravens
you
too,
need
man.
Big things
Lamar
to happen.
Back. You're right.
They're 2-5.
Yeah, but without Lamar,
the Ravens defense right sucks. Now has sucked outside of kind of stopping the Bears because Caleb Williams stopped himself.
It's the Bears.
And my point is when you have a Ravens team that likely, who is still the favorite to win that division despite being 2-5, you don't know what that game's going to look like. They have a good offense. You take away the ball from the Ravens against a bad defense, you help your chances with what you know as a team overall for the Green Bay Packers. So 800-990-3776. Again, we're looking at this all from the lens of them trying to become a front runner for the Super Bowl because they have what we believe is a team to do so. What is the one thing that's holding them back that you want to see happen the rest of the year? 800-990-3776. That is the Carbless Talk and Text Line.
Oh, yeah. And when it comes to kicking back, relaxing, and making any evening or game-watching experience that much better, then Carbless has to be accompanied right by your side. When you hear that ksh and followed by that beautiful taste of Carbless, you know that you've made the right decision. I mean, every time I grab it and taste it, I'm amazed that the carbonation is absolutely perfect. Not too much, not too little. Not only that, it's a guilt-free experience. 100 calories per can, no gluten, no sugars, no carbs, no guilt. Not only that, man, there's so many flavors to choose from. So no matter what it is, whether you're celebrating Halloween, maybe that feels like more of a classic cocktail type of night, or you want to pull back some of those warm vibes and grab a margarita, there's a flavor for everybody. In the Nortman fridge, there's all those flavors because I can't choose which one's my favorite. I want you to experience why bliss is more with Carbless and enjoy it just like I do.
Read option. You guys choose. Do we want to address one of the biggest boosters of Wisconsin saying he's very positive about where things will be in a year? Or do you want me to tell you why you should bet Jordan Love for MVP? Everyone take a vote.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about with the booster stuff. What are you talking about? Did somebody email you?
No, it was an article from Jim Polzin.
No, but did somebody send it to you at all? Or
yeah, well,
Strove sent us the article, but didn't put Kyle on it.
Wait, y'all got an article?
You know, that's what we're going to do next. We're going to talk about something that Strove didn't send Kyle.
We got to suss this out.
Next. Wow, Strove. Oh, you know why? Because you ripped on him yesterday. He left you out.
Oh, my God.
This is Kyle Brustin-Nortman.
Here's the worst thing that happened about Brad Nortman producing Kyle Brustin-Nortman. And is Kyle, you know what's going to happen? He's going to have so much like softness in his heart for producers.
I lost a guy.
on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Love wants you. We can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before.
When's it gonna end? When are Kyle and Strofe gonna make up for good?
I don't know. Strofe is. This is egregious. Strofe was trying to keep me from being great at my job.
Wow, that's quite the accusation to your producer.
He admitted to purposely not putting me on an email.
Well, to his credit, you do miss a lot of the things that he does send to you.
Repeat what you said in the break. Go ahead.
I read 50% of the emails that you send to me.
Damn! 50?
I'm just curious.
I'm just curious.
For somebody that claims I'm trying to hold them back from doing or being great at their job, you would say I send you at least one extensive email a day, correct? That will be on the show?
Yeah, you send that to me.
So reading 50% of those would be my fault for holding you back?
No! What's called? Just because somebody doesn't read it doesn't mean you're supposed to stop sending it. That'd be bad.
No, I actually think he's actually standing on business.
Your manager would be disappointed if he found out you didn't send somebody email.
I actually think his manager would be more disappointed in the person who's supposed to be reading the email that doesn't.
Oh, well, still, you're just not supposed to stop sending it.
No, Team Strofe. Yeah, that's right, Brad. The world against Kyle. Kyle Bruston-Norton across ESPN Wisconsin as a large University of Wisconsin booster. He's got his name all over the program.
This
Camp
article
Randall.
Is crazy.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, I wish you would have sent it to me
in a good way. It's crazy in a good way.
Ted Kellner
is a
big booster. And look, the short of it is he's not looking for anybody to be fired. He's a supporter of Chris McIntosh and Luke Fickle. I don't get the angst a lot of people do, and this is from Jim Polzin, an article that he wrote. Do I wish we were better? Sure. Does Luke want to be better? Of course. But the decision, whoever we have at coach, should reside only with the athletic director, and I think things will be vastly different next year on a number of fronts as it pertains to particularly football. Now, I guess where I'm going with this is, the more and more we hear about Chris McIntosh, fire Fickle was a chant that was ringing amongst people's ears at Camp Randall, or at least the people that were there, that were left there, about 3 weeks ago. And then you see the letter to Badger Nation from Chris McIntosh talking about reinvesting in the football program, NIL, all of the likes. The more and more I see and feel things from very important people at the university, it's starting to feel as if no matter what happens this season, that Luke Fickle will still be the head coach at the University of Wisconsin. Am I off base? Is anyone else starting to feel that?
Oh, I've felt that way since the letter came out.
Well, I feel
now
that,
I'm getting more is my point.
Yeah, I feel that as well. The letter from McIntosh... A donor and a booster like Kellner, his words should be taken with a lot of weight. A lot of weight. And if guys like him are not upset or wanting to see a change, that carries a lot of weight when it comes to decisions like who may or may not be fired.
Especially in the world of college athletics where it's money involved.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Ted Kellner here is his money. He can do whatever the hell he wants with it. But also, I don't know Ted, but I do know he's probably a man who has an ego. And when you have an ego... And you think that, remember, he was 100% behind the hiring of Luke Fickle.
And we all were.
Yep. And he glowed about McIntosh in that article.
He did, but he likes McIntosh, and he let him find his private plane. So even he would have to admit, oh, we were wrong on this one, because I'm sure behind closed doors, he was the one who said, hey, if y'all go get Fickle, I'll help any way that I can.
And the article does also allude to a tone change of the last time Jim did talk to Ted Kellner 11 months ago.
So I read 11 months ago.
Like
he was
angrier back then than he was now.
He was mad about NIL stuff and the amount of money.
After the Oregon game, which was actually a close game. I was at that one. But still, it was another loss. And it was, what is it, 8 straight Big Ten losses now?
I think that's right.
And so if Ted don't want to, if he's good with it, he has a lot of persuasion inside that athletic department because how much money he gives. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we may have to sit here. When it came to McIntosh, how he felt, I'm like, I don't know. He may still fire him. But when I know one of the biggest donors in at the University of Wisconsin, if he's not upset, he's not mad, he's not demanding to, you know, change, or he's threatening to pull money, then he might end up staying. Because at the end of the day, in the world of NIL, the donors dictate a lot. You think that James Franklin was fired because the athletic director decided that I want to fire him today? No, there was some pressure. If you think Brian Kelly got fired because all of a sudden the athletic director decided I don't want to, you know, have him here anymore, no. It's pressure from those who are willing to pay buyouts and those who are willing to fund the institution of athletics of football. So if we don't have any people applying pressure, then it is what it is. If Ted Keltner likes a losing program, then I guess that's what we'll get.
Dr. Denver Dan chimes in on YouTube at ESP Milwaukee. Are college coaches' salaries guaranteed? If so, where am I going? Again, the biggest thing I wanted to mention is the start there. There's the buyout portion of things to if you are going to fire a coach. Now, what I am hearing is a lot of universities are trying to reevaluate how they do their contracts with coaches, because if you are looking to pay a coach a certain amount of money and then there is a buyout, that inhibits your ability to then field a good enough team and get the right coach all in one after you move on from someone. That is to be seen, but it's something that I know is being discussed. What I want to know is just a true pulse right now. Let's get the pulse on Twitter at KBNESPN. For the Wisconsin Badgers, are you trusting the process with Fickell and McIntosh, or are you just ready to move on right now?
I'm ready to move on. I am. I've seen too much after 3 years. I've seen this program descend into an area that I've never seen in my whole life, being the worst team in the Big Ten and not even being able to field the team that looks competitive. Like, they have a pulse or a culture. So I feel like I'm ready to move on. The more I'm hearing, though, I feel like they will be trusting the process and thinking that Fickell will be back. And one more thing I might add, and another reason why I think McIntosh and Fickell think that they can, you know, basically buy themselves another year, and why they would want to buy themselves another year. Because there's all this talk about more money being thrust into the program. First of all, I don't know where they're going to get that money from. I really don't. I don't think that the NIL is overflowing. And if you're talking about earmarking slightly more for that $20 million that everybody gets, that's not going to make a ton of waves. However, if you look at next year's schedule, boy, it's a cakewalk. It is easy.
Can I ask you a question, Brett?
So, just hold on. Okay. I'm going to give you a chance to ask. So the Badgers are 18th right now in the Big Ten. The worst.
Badgers are the cakewalk.
Thank you. Yep. What are we talking about?
I'm just saying, though, if there's a chance to resuscitate this, they're probably looking at that and saying, well, we're trying to peak next year. I mean, peak from the low. But they play, now hold on with me, the current Big Ten standings, they play the 4th, 6th, 7th team, 11th, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th team. They basically play a little bit of the, some of the top, but mostly the bottom half of the Big Ten. And of course, the Badgers are 18th of 18th, but they play 11, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 all next year. And their non-conference is Western Illinois, Pittsburgh, and Notre Dame will be tough. But they probably look at it and say, hey, we can get six wins next year.
Route!
They probably say we can get six wins and save face next year because the schedule will be so easy. I think that's a little bit of a cop-out, but I think that's what they're waiting for, is the easy schedule next year.
Brad, I cannot believe you, because you're a smart guy. And you know math, so you know numbers. But I cannot believe you just said the Badgers play the 11th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th ranked teams in the Big Ten.
Why did you just turn him into a complete nerd?
Because there's other programs looking to say, well, at least next year we play Wisconsin. Like, Brad, what are you talking about?
I'm just telling you, we're the worst team.
Why would they be thinking that? We're the worst team. We have not even beaten the teams that are bad that we played this year in the Big Ten, Brad.
Fair.
We are a bottom feeder. We can't beat Minnesota. We probably can't beat Michigan State. We for sure ain't beat USC. We probably ain't. You know what? We're as bad as Purdue. We are as bad as Purdue.
We are as bad
as
Purdue.
That is how far we have fallen. And in that 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, you talking about Penn State.
Yeah, Penn State's in a moment of transition.
Your mic isn't on. You're as bad as the Badger football program and radio.
Transition upheaval right now.
Yeah, exactly. So the problem I have is that you got to fire Luke Fickell. There is no other option. Luke Fickell has had this Wisconsin program regress, and right now you're getting close to a point where Luke Fickell won't be able to return because of the bridges that he has burned. When there is so much disdain for somebody for what they have done and the product they have put on the field, it messes with everybody, right? Nobody wants to support that. They can't get behind it. And what really burns me, have y'all seen the Cincinnati football program lately?
Yeah, they're top 25.
They're good.
They have a great offense.
They're really good.
And they play in the Big 12. So what I'm saying is that Cincinnati, the school he left, is better than Wisconsin. Literally, the program he left is just about or better than what it was when he left. And Wisconsin has completely regressed. He has destroyed our program, so he has to go. It just did not work out. So he should be fired based off the poor performance of this team. He can't develop players. He's not doing a great job in the transfer portal.
When it comes to the Badgers, are you trusting the process with Luke Fickell and Chris McIntosh, or are you ready to move on? That's on Twitter at KBN ESPN, and I want to get this out as many ways as possible because I want to get the pulse. I want to know if people are buying into what Luke Fickell and most likely Chris McIntosh are putting together as a plan to have this program go from 18th to moving forward. I just, again, don't look at me. I'm just the messenger. Don't look at me like that.
Have they been competitive at all in Big Ten play, Brad?
Just I'm the messenger. Keep your thoughts because we got more to get to with them because they're ruining the whole state. The whole state financially. Now they're hurting businesses and pockets. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, you're going to tell us about American Family Insurance.
Oh, I love to tell y'all about American Family Insurance. If you are looking to get homeowners insurance, if you're even looking to get car insurance or life insurance, American Family Insurance is the way to go. And just like a great team needs great protection, American Family Insurance knows your family needs it too. That is why they make life easier by protecting your dreams with outstanding home and auto policies. It's so easy. Simply go to amfam.com today. And I'm telling y'all, if you need to get a quote, like you're buying a new home or you're looking to get new car insurance, go to amfam.com. They can give you a quote online. Just fill out a couple, pages of information and bada boom, bada bang, there you have it. You have your quote instantly online. Or if you like me, you like to talk to somebody, you can find an insurance agent near you. They're all over southeastern Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin as well. So always know, insure carefully and dream fearlessly with American Family Insurance. Visit amfam.com today to find an insurance agent near you or get an instant quote online.
More Kyle Bruston-Nortman with you next.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman.
Love you.
What?
Love you.
Love you too.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We got a bunch of nerds around here, I can tell you that much. Brad Nerdman, obviously. Alex Strofe, big dictionary.com guy. Kyle Wallace, I think, is upset with dictionary.com. This came out way quicker than Strofe usually expects it to.
I'm really upset.
Ben Bruss, Kyle Wallace, Brad Nortman, Strofe running the show, UKB Nation on the Carbless Talk and Text Line 800-990-3776, and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Why are you hot?
Well, so I had this whole game plan. I literally had a conversation yesterday with Madison Hayes 24, our social media queen, and I was like, dude, I've got this great idea. Next week's the first week of November. I'm going to start giving out all week next week the of the years, right? The person of the year, blah, 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 blah. And it all rooted from the idea of I thought I cracked the code, what the word of the year would be. And I was like, dictionaries aren't dumb enough to say, hey, two words are going to be the word. The word of the year, according to dictionary.com, is not a word. It's not a word. It's multiple words.
And it means nothing.
It means nothing. And it is a meme, which is fine. I'm okay with the meme thing. But it's something that means nothing, and it's numbers. It is 6-7, 6-7. 6-7 is dictionary.com's word of the year, which, number one, stupid, dumb. It means nothing. I like the trend. I think it's kind of funny. I think it's funny to slip into when we're talking about Jordan Love. Oh, yeah, that 6-7-yard completion to Tucker Kraft. Kind of funny, right? I like that. But
I don't even know if that's funny. I've never really found the trend to be that.
Yeah, it's very lame.
It's not. It's a targeted for millennials.
I like it. So, I didn't like it at first because I was confused. But when you get past trying to understand what it is.
No. But here's the thing, Kyle. I have a good track record of these things. I can. I can usually pinpoint. Last year, I nailed it. It was demure was the word of the year.
Oh,
last
yeah.
Year.
So
I nailed
cool.
it. I thought,
what did you think it was going to be this year?
I'll get to that in a moment. I am good at like predicting what the album of the year will be, what the time person of the year will be. I have a good track record of that. So I was going to do a whole thing about my credentials and how, and I might still do it. But the word of the year was the whole root of this idea. And it's October 29th, man. There's still a sixth of the year left.
Yeah, that's true.
And we're already determining what the word of 6-7, 6-7. Okay. Anyway, my thought was the word of the year was going to be aura. A-U-R-A, aura.
Aura.
Why is that?
Because it has a heavy, if you go look at the Google trend, it's been used way more this year than past decades. It's been slipping into like a bunch of areas of life. It's in movie reviews. It's on cereal boxes. Sports commentators are using the word aura to describe people. You have a great aura.
Would you say you have
you.
Aura?
Probably not. No, I wouldn't. But maybe on things like this, I have aura because I have a great track record.
You keep saying you have a great track like record, presence? But there's also nothing to prove you have a great track record.
That's probably not true.
But you're just saying things right now. Like we're all supposed to believe Strofe's the time of the year predictor guy.
Would that surprise you that I have a good track record on these things? Because I am very plugged in on this stuff.
From 11 to 1 at night, we don't know what you're doing. It's probably looking up stuff like this.
I'm getting educated.
I will say if I've got questions with pop culture or trends, I would say you're probably one of my go-tos to figure out what's going on. Like how I asked Kyle what BBL meant yesterday. I don't know, but you guys are like sort of a brain trust.
Don't put me in there. Okay. You say you guys, just Kyle and Strofe. Because I don't know half the stuff that's going on especially. Either. Strofe's do you have any problems with dictionary.com?
I do. Dictionary.com, they basically bend the knee to whatever dumb slang is. It's absurd. The fact that they're putting 6-7 in the dictionary is and call it the word of the year is absolutely absurd. I was getting to think, like, what if they just pick all these random slang words from previous years, and then they're in the dictionary forever. Forever. So I went down a little bit of rabbit hole and saw what are some of the slang words that I remember using that would be embarrassing if the dictionary actually put it in there. Do we remember words like, how about using the word not? Like, that's cool. Not.
A not joke?
Sure.
Psych.
Could you imagine under psych is also on there. Imagine the dictionary go under not saying 90 slang term for trying to redirect someone on their commentary. It's totally absurd. How about the 2000s? There's some fun in the 2000s. Cool beans. Remember cool beans?
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
Cool beans.
We were pretty lame cool for beans. Being honest
tight,
so far.
Tight.
Oh, yeah, that's tight.
That's tight. How about sick? That's sick.
Oh, that was sick, bro. Sick. That was
sick, bro.
Bro.
Bro
is a strong one. But not only that, so it's easy to go from our generation.
Gosh, or are we just simpletons?
But I was like, but if it's in there, it's in there forever. So I went back and looked at the slang from the 1940s.
Oh, wow.
Slang from the 19. You know what killer diller meant?
I don't know. You better be careful.
Killer diller. It meant really cool. It meant impressive. Oh, how about jeepers?
Jeepers creepers.
Jeepers.
I still use jeepers.
Hold on real quick. I just want to point out that the very first dictionary to claim the word of the year was the American Dialect Society. So I guess it's more of a society than a dictionary. But in 1992, the word of the year was not.
You're joking.
Absurd.
No, I'm dead serious. 1996, the word of the year was mom from your mom jokes and soccer moms.
What is happening?
Your mom was.
In 2000, it was Chad.
Chad.
Brads and Chads?
No, more hanging Chad, I believe, in that context.
I don't know what that means. Because of the election.
Oh, gotcha.
In 2012, it was hashtag.
Just hashtag.
And now we're 6-7.
Embarrassing.
6-7.
Hashtag.
6-7.
Yes.
Sean Gary did the little dance, and
that was pretty good, actually.
Some of the recent ones I actually can't say on the radio. I don't think from the American Dialect Society, but
they need better standards then.
Yeah, American Dialect Society.
COVID was the word of the year in 2020, obviously.
You said Coke?
COVID.
COVID. I was talking about Coca-Cola.
Do you know one of the most?
Any other good ones, Brad? From that we can reminisce on in the good old days.
Well,
things were simpler.
There are some fun ones from the 1940s. You know, the most common phrase from the 1940s was...
Gee whiz.
I lost it. We're 23 Skidoo. 23, it means that we got to get out of here.
Is that the new 67?
Yeah, exactly. It's the new 27.
We should bring that back. 23 Skidoo. It's like code words.
You know what sucks is that the people who were actually using this language are... getting older.
There's a fun one from the 1910s referring to alcohol as giggle water.
Oh, that's good.
Giggle water.
Don chimes in on the Carbus Talking text line.
What's that?
What's
that? What's that? Were you born when What's That came out? Okay.
He's in diapers.
Probably. He's in What's That?
When was the first What's That reference?
Probably, I would say like 2001,
yeah, maybe.
Like that.
I was alive, man.
Did you ever talk to the hand?
Yeah.
Talk to the hand.
Because the face ain't listening.
Talk to the hand.
We should also bring that one back.
Or even just
talk to the hand.
Or even just the word. Word.
Word.
Word. Word.
Yeah, that's word.
That's word.
I feel like people still use that.
Yeah.
Word.
It's amazing how well that has lasted.
How you living, man? How you living?
How you living?
How you living?
How you living, Biggie Smalls? It's a great song.
So hold on, we stink. Six seven is a crime.
I said what my word of the year would be. Do you guys have answers?
I can't even do words on this show.
I don't even know what's trending in 2025.
It doesn't necessarily need to be trending. It would be a word that has maybe been added to your vocabulary. We're not talking
hyperbolic.
We're not talking about Ben's edition. Maybe one you hadn't heard prior.
You have a whole list of mine.
I do, yes.
A word I haven't heard prior that I heard this year.
Extrapolate, by the way, the newest word on that list. He used it earlier in the show.
He did.
I don't know if I have.
All right, think about that. I'm going to ask you for it, and I'm going to put it on the all new KBN TikTok at KBN ESPN on TikTok.
Oh wow,
we have a TikTok.
I love TikTok.
TikTok. That's our new TikTok sound.
TikTok. Oh wow.
Wait, why are we stealing the?
Wait, come on.
We had a Scalzone Brust one that is now converted to Kyle Brust and Nortman.
Okay.
So wait, as of last night.
Shout out. But question. So what is the TikTok sound for? What does that mean?
If I reference something we said on TikTok, I'm going to click this.
Oh, so you go to TikTok and follow us at KBN ESPN and check out what we're talking about on the air on TikTok.
On TikTok, I'm going to make it all exclusive content.
All behind the scenes?
All behind the scenes, no show clips, maybe sometimes show clips.
Oh,
wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to compare your headbutt to Tucker Kraft's headbutt. I was going to do a film breakdown on that on TikTok.
That's
one of my ideas.
Wow. So. Did you send this in an email too?
No, this is just Strofe and I texting last night.
Okay. I was just, you know.
You know when I asked you a State of the Union before the show?
That's going on TikTok.
That is on TikTok.
Play the sound.
Real quick. 39 words added to the dictionary this year. One of them's baby girl.
Hey!
Baby girl. Literally one word, baby girl.
Look at me.
Right underneath it, baddie.
Oh my God.
Baddie might be my word of the year because I never heard that before Kyle said it.
Yeah, wow. I'm dictionary.com.
We're back in 2 minutes.